You're listening to Mrugashira, a podcast for PR and communication folks.
A couple of years ago, Quartz ran a story with the headline, "Public Relations Agencies Are Dominated by Women." So why are all their leaders men? The story further says, PR is an industry that is inclusive of women at every level, except for the very top. Why this disparity? What needs to be done and can be done? I spoke to Kavita Lakhani, National President, Public Relations and Digital Marketing Council at Women's India Chamber of Commerce and Industry, that is WICCI, W-I-C-C-I, and Executive Director, Linta's Life. A bit about WICCI. WICCI is an institutionalized business chamber in India that works closely with the government, other chambers, universities, and other stakeholders, as also governments and institutions likewise in various countries, to improve bilateral trade relations and facilitate ease of doing business and competitiveness for women-owned businesses. It has a massive network of 250,000 women connected across 120 countries. WICCI recently constituted the PR and Digital Marketing Council with Kavita Lakhani as the national president. Listen in to what Kavita has to say.
Let me start by asking you that, you know, what prompted you to do this? I mean, what prompted you to sort of think of, having a PR and a digital council under WICCI, and where did it all start?
So, WICCI actually stands for Women's Indian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. It is a very unique body. It's for the women, by the women, and really the only body which actually focuses on women empowerment and women enablement. I feel that, you know, within this council, I mean, there are 150 plus sectors represented. Okay. And the communications industry was not really represented. And the nature of the communications industry, the importance and the way it is growing today, it's got double-digit growth. It made logical sense for this sector to be represented within this Chamber of Commerce. It was absolutely, I thought, was important. Mm-hmm. This sector, the communications sector, has a very, very large representation of women in it.
Yes.
However, that representation of women is only at the entry level. As you go to the topmost levels, the representation of women in leadership positions is very, very minuscule. So at the entry levels, it's around 38% or 34%, and it drops to 3% in boardrooms. And that was really what prompted me to think about what is it that we can do to give back to our industry. Given the context that, you know, the communications industry is playing such an important role in the economy today.
And, this is also an industry that has a lot of youngsters, right? Many people are under probably 30, 35, and they are the people who come with a lot of enthusiasm, energy, drive, and probably ideas and ability to sort of experiment, think outside the box and experiment outside the box. So how do you get them to contribute in this? How do you make this whole effort into an inclusive one?
So I think the most important thing that people, at the entry levels, or I would say the mid-management levels, the way they can contribute is essentially by spreading the word, by participating in events that the council is actually going to be creating to ensure that, we mentor the right kind of the aspiring leaders, we show them the path, and also upskilling them. Because I think for them to participate and become leaders, they need to be part of that, of any activities that the council does. And also very actively set their sights on it, set their sights on leadership positions. I don't think anyone should feel for a minute that they can't reach the top.
So, is that going to be the primary charter of the council? I mean, what are some of the basic themes that you would probably be going after?
So I would think that there are four main activities or main mandates for the council. One is really ensure that there are networking events galore, because what happens is that typically networking events are paid for events. I think what we want to do is ensure that there are networking events where there are women leaders or leaders from any space really coming and talking about their experiences to reach the top. Secondly, I think, one of the areas where aspiring leaders don't really have access or need help is in mentorship. So having mentee programs or mentoring programs is very, very important, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be an important area for the council to look at. The third area, I would say, is upskilling. And I think we'd be actively going in that direction, especially to equip and enable women who are coming back after a break. So, for example, a maternity break or a senior care break, you know, or maybe women who are stagnating in their careers and who still want, who have the desire to move up but just don't know how to do it. So upskilling them with the right kind of, know-how, the right kind of talent, and the right kind of skills. The fourth area is really client roundtables, you know, to talk about best practices within this industry. And I think the more inspiration you spread, the more we talk about, you know, how women can reach the top, why aren't they reaching the top, you know, and how, what are the few things that they need to do to really go, you know, and stay within their careers and more importantly, rise within their careers. Yeah. I think these are the four areas we will focus on.
That's very interesting, Kavita, because, one of the things that I strongly feel that we don't have probably today is a proper mentoring program. Because I, like what you rightly said, right? And mentoring, I think most people look at it as something that you need to do at an entry level or probably somebody who has done 5 years, 6 years of, you know, experience of career life. And people usually forget that there are people who are, like, you know, with 20 years of experience, 25 years of experience, still wanting to contribute, learn and grow, you know, contribute to make the place and the sector more, efficient and excellent. And also in the process, you know, learn more knowledge, more skills and be more, useful. I think that is something this sector has, I mean, personally, from what I've seen, I don't think, you know, it has sort of picked up. And I find that very, very, you know, interesting in that sense. That brings me also to this question, saying that there are a lot of these, programs, initiatives that everybody tries to do around women, including in our sector, for example, through their own, you know, bodies and associations and all that stuff. So how do you see Wiki differentiating itself as it progresses?
So I just feel that the amount of, you know, the kind of leaders that you get on a certain platform to really run a mentoring program or do a networking event, which has a certain stature of leaders, I think that's what differentiates one from another, one body from another and one event from another. Also, third is who can access those programs, you know? So I think these three things, you know, are very important, you know? And I just feel that there is a lot of space for all the bodies to do whatever they are doing right now. There is a lot of talent over there that's looking for guidance, looking for direction, looking to move up. Mm-hmm. And the very fact that all these bodies which have existed so far and yet the numbers are so dismal of women right at leadership positions very clearly indicates that there is room for doing a lot more. So I feel that the big differentiator will come in terms of the quality of women leaders, the quality of events that we do, and the access to those events for talent across the industries.
That's interesting. And I hope that, we are able to do some, very good work. I hope that we make this almost like the gold standard in the way some of these, because these are serious initiatives and these are serious necessities at this point in time, right? So let's hope that, we all come together, the 20 of us come together and do some, some magical work. I also look forward to contributing to this in a you know, in a big way.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Radha.
It was a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for your time.
A couple of weeks ago on this podcast, we had spoken about Baba Ka Daba. The whole event has taken an interesting twist. Weeks after YouTuber Gaurav Vasan put the owner of South Delhi eatery Baba Ka Daba into limelight with a call for financial assistance, its 80-year-old proprietor has filed a complaint against the blogger for allegedly misappropriating funds raised to help him. It is alleged that he has a bank account and Vasan did not share the bank account while asking for help and instead gave the account and contact details of his own and his family members. That's some turn of events, we would say.
Tune in next week for another episode of Mrugashira. Adios.